E-cigarettes are the most commonly used tobacco product among young people. In Wisconsin, 13% of high school students currently use e-cigarettes. This surpasses the use of conventional cigarettes. We're having a conversation about e-cigarettes and vaping on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nina Gregerson is a public health specialist with Public Health Madison Dane County. She focuses on tobacco and nicotine control policies that affect youth. She performs education and outreach with the Tobacco-Free Columbia Dane County Coalition. Nina, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, not all e-cigarettes are created equal, and with any marketplace, there is a whole lot of variety, but let's establish a working definition here. How does an e-cigarette work?
Sure. E-cigarettes are battery-powered devices that heat a liquid into an aerosol that users inhale. The liquid typically has nicotine, which is derived from tobacco, flavoring, and other additives. E-cigarettes can also be known as e-cigs, e-hookahs, mods, vape pens, vapes, e-cigars, as well as Juuls.
So lots of terminology out there. And during the hour, I'm sure we're going to encounter some of these, especially Juuls and Juuling.
Correct.
So where did e-cigarettes come from? What's their purpose?
Yeah, so e-cigarettes were developed overseas in China and kind of developed as an alternative to smoking. They didn't become popular here in the U.S. until the late 2008, 2009. But in the last 3 or 4 years, we've really seen a surge in use among our young people.
And what is their purpose? What do they serve?
So e-cigarettes ultimately just take the place of smoking, but typically e-cigarettes are known to have less chemicals than cigarettes, so people see them as safer, but they're definitely not safe, and our young people are using them for a variety of reasons.
And so we dug out some, to go back in time, some audio here. It's been more than 20 years since the world was introduced to this product.
I thought you quit smoking.
I did.
Really? What's up with that?
It's a Nicotrol inhaler. It gives me the nicotine I need to fight my cravings and help me quit.
Really?
But you can only use it for 6 months, and you have to use it as part of a stop smoking program. You have to stop smoking first, then you can't use it with anything else containing nicotine.
Ask your doctor for product information.
All right, so Nicotrol, we had that in 1997. Are today's devices significantly different than the Nicotrol of 1997?
Yes. So Nicotrol is an inhaler that smokers who want to quit smoking can utilize to help them quit smoking. So the difference with Nicotrol in our e-cigarettes that we're seeing today are Nicotrol is FDA approved for cessation purposes, so quit smoking purposes, whereas e-cigarettes have yet to be approved by the FDA as a cessation device. And Nicotrol is just delivering nicotine by itself, so it doesn't have any flavorings or additives added to it. So it's the appeal there to our young people is not there.
Is there any indication that e-cigarettes do help people quit smoking traditional cigarettes?
That's a great question, and I think the verdict's still out. Unfortunately, these products just haven't been around long enough to have those studies. What we're seeing initially, though, is that these products are actually not helping folks quit. If anything, folks are dual using, so they'll use their e-cigarettes when they can't conventionally smoke cigarettes, and then smoke cigarettes when they're able to.
And e-cigarettes can pack a lot of nicotine in them. I was just shocked.
Yes, so there's a wide range of nicotine content, so you kind of buy what serves you best. But yeah, the amount of nicotine in some of these products is outrageous.
We're talking right now with Nina Gregerson here on the morning show, and she is the the public health Madison Dane County public health specialist focusing on tobacco and nicotine control policies that impact youth. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher or administrator in an area school district? Are you seeing kids opt for e-cigarettes? What do kids say to you? Do they think they're risking their health, or do they assume it's harmless? Perhaps you're a coach. When do you see students using e-cigarettes, and how do you handle it? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Nina, in practice, who is using e-cigarettes today?
Typically, what we're seeing is younger people using e-cigarettes. So we're seeing a high use rate amongst 24 to 44 year olds. But we're also seeing our young people who are under 18 start using these products when they would typically not smoke conventional cigarettes at all.
So these are former non-smokers whose gateway to nicotine is e-cigarettes.
So you're completely right. Typically what we're seeing is people who have never been smokers in their lives using these products, and these are the products that they're first utilizing and becoming addicted to nicotine.
How does the way adults use e-cigarettes correlate to how teenagers are turning to e-cigarettes? Are they at all related?
Yeah, so I think there's a good chance that e-cigarettes could help most people at least reduce their cigarette smoking. But what we're seeing with our young people is that they're really allured to the flavoring of these products as well as the nicotine content. So what we're hearing in schools are kids are using these products because of the flavoring, and they're getting a head buzz from the nicotine content.
What kind of flavoring is out there?
Yeah, so there's over 7,000 e-cig flavors on the market today.
Wait, 7,000?
Yeah. And they come from a wide range of traditional tobacco to traditional menthol, all the way up to bubblegum, cotton candy, yummy gummy, strawberry, banana, chocolate. I mean, it's a wide variety out there.
And now help us make the leap from these flavors to Juuls or Juuling. What is that?
Sure. So Juuling has kind of hit us by surprise. We just became aware of Juuls in the last 6 months or so. And what we're hearing from our young people is that Juuling is separate from vaping, and they are seen as two different things, where they're actually the same thing. They're just a different device. So kids are saying, yeah, I'm not vaping, but I'm Juuling. So they're making the product
distinction in the terminology,
correct,
but not in the chemical composition of what they're doing.
Correct. And the biggest difference between Juuls and your vape pens or vaporizers are that they still come in all those wide variety of flavors. The device is different. So a Juul looks like a USB flash drive, whereas your e-cig typically looks like a cigarette. And we've learned that the Juul has a significantly higher content of nicotine in them. So what we're hearing from our young people is they're using the Juul to get a head buzz. They're using it in class. They're using it on the bus. They're using it at home all day, every day. And they're becoming addicted way quicker than what we've seen in the past.
And Juul is spelled J-U-U-L.
Correct.
And so they can clip this device onto them, and they might be even Juuling in a class.
Correct. And we've held some focus groups around our area here in Dane County, and that is exactly what we heard from our young people that we interviewed, is that kids are for sure vaping in class. They are clipping it inside of their shirts or just simply holding onto it in their hands, taking a few puffs and then blowing it into their sleeves or into their shirts, because the aerosol isn't as big as your regular vape pens. So it's easier to conceal.
E-cigarettes, they cover a wide swath of products on the market. Some look like cigarettes or pens. They most often use a battery-powered coil to turn a liquid solution into an aerosol that is inhaled. One e-cigarette device we're talking about, it's called a Juul, has become increasingly popular in recent years. According to Nielsen data last month, Juul has a 54% market share of the e-cigarette market. Nina Gregerson stays with us. She is a public health specialist and public health Madison, Dane County, focusing on tobacco and nicotine control policies that impact youth. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher or administrator in a school district? Are you seeing kids reaching for e-cigarettes, carrying them with them? What do kids say to you? Do they think they're risking their health, or do they assume they're harmless? Call in. You can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. The Juul is a small, rectangular, techie-looking pen that contains a whole lot of nicotine. The device looks like a USB. It's small, it's sleek, designed to be an alternative to combustible tobacco products, think cigarettes. The Juul website offers vape-available pods that come in cool mint, creme brulee, cucumber, and zillions of other flavors. We're talking about e-cigarettes and the booming market of young people using them here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nina Gregerson is here with us. She is a public health specialist with Public Health Madison, Dane County. She does educational outreach for Tobacco-Free Columbia Dane County Coalition. You can join in with your questions, your stories, 800-642-1234. Are you a teenager or a young adult? Does your school have a policy that includes consequences for tobacco use that extends to these emerging trends? Do you use e-cigarettes? Do you think it's a better alternative to smoking? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Sarah now, joining us from Zion, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Sorry, I'm trying to get ready for work. What's the legal age to buy these? And is there a black market that people are, like, getting them through if they're too young?
And you're also concerned, Sarah, about secondhand exposure.
I'm very curious about that, yeah. And I wonder if there's, are any anti-smoking groups or trying to prohibit companies from selling.
Yeah.
Have kid friendly sense.
Lots of great questions there, Sarah. Nina, go ahead and unpack.
Thanks, Sarah. Yes, there is an age restriction to buy e-cigs. Here in Wisconsin, it is 18, so no one under the age of 18 is supposed to be buying these products. However, we from our focus groups, from just talking to the young people we work with, there's obviously ways to get around that, whether that's going into stores and them not IDing for these products, but purchasing these products online and simply the delivery man not asking for sign off or checking an ID at the door. And we've also heard that students who are of age go out at lunchtime, purchase these products, and then sell them when they get back to school. So there's ways to get around the age of purchase for these products. But it's definitely concerning either way.
And how about secondhand exposure?
Yeah, another great question. Definitely something that we are concerned about. We do know that the aerosol that is exhaled from a user does have heavy metals such as lead and some carcinogens such as formaldehyde. So we have taken steps here in the city of Madison to include these products in our smoke-free air law. A few other communities around the state have done so as well, something that we would love to continue to work on as a statewide initiative.
Sarah's also wondering about, are there any restrictions on these kid-friendly flavors or any restrictions on the marketing?
Here in Wisconsin, we do not have any restrictions on flavoring, unfortunately. That it would be something that the state would have to pass since we are preempted at a local level to work on those things. Same goes with marketing. These products can be marketed in ways that traditional tobacco used to be marketed, so it can be marketed on TV, in magazines, on billboards. So all of those things are really concerning since they're not regulated the same as conventional cigarettes.
Sarah, thanks for the call. Great questions. Nina, what do we know about youth rates in Wisconsin and nationally when considering e-cigarettes and the rate they're used?
Sure. Here in Wisconsin, we started gathering data on e-cigarette use in 2014. So our baseline numbers are from 2014. In that sense, it was 8% among our high school youth. 2 years ago in 2016, we saw a steep rise in use of e-cigarettes among high schoolers. It went up to 13.3%. So we've seen conventional cigarette use, you know, steadily declining for the last decade or so, but the use of e-cigarettes are on the rise.
And that number, the most recent numbers, is from the 2016 National Youth Tobacco Survey. When is a new survey coming out?
Yeah, so we should have new survey data this year, but with any type of surveying, it'll be delayed by a few months. So we're hoping we'll have that data by the end of the year, early next year. Our assumption is that number is going to continue to increase just because of the lack of regulations and the further appeal of Juuls and other flavored e-cigarette products.
How do we stack up compared to the rest of the nation?
It's kind of all over the place. I don't know national numbers. I want to say one out of every six high school students has used an e-cigarette in the last month, and that's from 2015 is the most recent data there. But it's kind of all over the board in terms of other states.
Perhaps based on regulations, or what might be impacting the numbers?
Totally. We do assume that some states with tougher regulations on these products, such as raising the legal age to purchase and use to 21, furthering the restrictions on marketing, as well as banning some of those flavors, can definitely play a role in reducing the rates.
And from what I understand from the Juul website, you can't access the website unless you're 21 or over. But how did they figure that out?
It's simply just pushing a button saying that you're over 21 and putting your date of birth, which anyone can try to figure out what the age of 21 is. So, yep.
What do we know about the health effects of using an electronic cigarette?
Yeah, so when we're talking about young people, we definitely don't want them to be using these products. We know that nicotine is highly addictive, especially among our young people. The brain doesn't fully develop until your mid to late 20s, and nicotine exposure during those younger years can actually inhibit proper brain development and actually increase your susceptibility to addiction in the future. So it's really important that we encourage our young people not to use these products because of the nicotine addiction as well as the brain development piece. But furthermore, we don't want a new generation hooked on tobacco or nicotine products.
And e-cigarettes, they heat liquid to a vapor, and that's how the use can, you know, inhale nicotine. So e-cigarettes don't have the cancer-causing tar that traditional cigarettes have when you strike a match or flick a lighter. So could that make them safer?
Yeah, so the analogy that I give is if you put conventional cigarettes on a spectrum of harm, conventional cigarettes are going to be the worst thing that you can consume and put in your body. Where e-cigarettes lie on that spectrum of harm, we just don't know yet because they haven't been around for many years. But we do know that the aerosol that people are inhaling not only includes nicotine, but like I said before, lead, formaldehyde, and other types of chemicals that your lungs aren't supposed to be inhaling.
Let's go to Andy now, joining us from Palmyra. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how's it going?
Going well. Go ahead with your question.
Well, my question was, you said that it's real easy for children to order stuff online, and I order my juices online, and I have lots of troubles with the IDing process.
In what sense, Andy? Tell us a little bit more.
Well, we order stuff, and they keep calling us back, you know, to verify our identification, to verify we're of age. All these companies, they really put you through the ringer. It's a really big hassle, but you can get it for half the price that you can in a store.
Oh, Andy, so you buy this all online?
Yes.
How long have you been using e-cigarettes?
For about a year and a half now. I used to smoke regular cigarettes, and it got me off of regular cigarettes in less than a week.
And what about flavorings?
I do use one flavor that I stick with. It's like a white grape flavor. But my sense of smell has came back, you know, from after I quit smoking regular cigarettes. I mean, I can smell cigarettes on people. You know, my sense of taste of everything has came back from, I think it's a lot better than regular cigarettes.
So you feel a health difference that you've quit traditional cigarettes and gone toward e-cigarettes?
Definitely.
So do you ever frequent stores that sell e-cigarettes, or are you strictly buying online?
No, I go to stores for like the coils and the vaporizer.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for your call, and I want to get Nina on your insights there.
Yeah, Andy, thanks for your comments, and congratulations. I know quitting smoking can be very, very difficult. And I love to hear that, you know, the company that you're using is really checking your ID and making sure that you say who you are and that you're the age that you are. So that makes me a little happier to hear that. But, I mean, to your point, too, we just don't want our young people to become hooked, especially when they have never smoked conventional cigarettes before. So what we're really trying to do is, you know, prevent that initiation of e-cigarettes among our young people. So
Pat in Madison called to ask about a chemical in e-cigarettes that's a smoothing agent in microwave popcorn butter. That's one of the causes popcorn lung. It's called diacetyl. This is also in e-cigarettes. Pat wants to know what are risks of this chemical?
Yeah, so great question. Thank you for that. Yes, we do see diacetyl.
Diacetyl,
yeah,
okay.
In e-cigarettes, it is a flavoring, so it's not in all of the e-cig juices that are out there, but it's just certain flavorings that have that chemical in it. And yes, we did see this with popcorn manufacturer factory workers many years ago, where they developed a respiratory disease, and they coined it popcorn lung, and it's the same chemical that we've identified in other e-juices. So
it's, but it's not in all e-juices.
It's not in all. It's part of a flavoring, so it kind of depends on what flavor it's in.
How important is flavoring to the marketability of e-cigarettes?
I think the marketability of flavored products in general definitely plays a part in use. So not even just e-cigarettes, we still have flavored tobacco products that are on the market, and we definitely see the use of those products on the rise as well among our young people.
And before we go any further in this conversation, there's been a lot of jargon that we've been using, but we've mostly referenced electronic cigarettes so far. What words do people use as shorthand for e-cigarettes?
Yeah, so many, many names. They They can be named e-cigs, e-hookahs, vape pens, e-cigars, mods, vapes, vaporizers, tank systems, Juuls. And I'm probably missing a few.
And those aren't all interchangeable, right?
Right. So your e-cigs, some e-cigs, cig-alikes, e-hookahs, vape pens are going to be disposable. So you'll get maybe 200 to 300 puffs out of them, and then you just simply throw them away. Your tank systems and your mods are refillable and rechargeable. So that's what you use like the liquid nicotine for.
And so that the Juul that you can literally charge it on your computer keyboard.
Correct. So the Juul is then a separate device that doesn't look like a pen or anything. It looks like a USB, and you charge it through your computer, and then you buy pods that you stick into it, and that's the liquid nicotine.
Do teens perceive one to be healthier than the other? So vaping or Juuling, do they see distinctions here?
When we held our focus groups, the kids definitely identified vaping and Juuling as two separate things. Not necessarily that one was better than the other, but they were used for separate things. So vaping, using those e-cigs, those vape pens are more to do the cool tricks with the clouds, whereas the Juul we heard is used to get a head buzz. So the nicotine content in a Juul is much higher than those other products for the most part. And so what we're hearing is kids are utilizing the Juul more so for a head buzz.
Because they're packed with so much more nicotine.
Correct. Yep.
So they have the equivalent of an entire package of cigarettes?
Yeah. So the pods that I was referring to earlier has the same amount of nicotine as one pack of cigarettes. And it says that you can get about 200 puffs out of one pod. So so the nicotine content is much higher with the Juuls.
How are kids using nicotine in ways traditional smokers have never used nicotine?
Yeah, so I think our young people don't realize the harm in using these products, and they don't see nicotine as addictive. But what we are also seeing is kids are using these products and then they can't stop because they've become hooked on nicotine. So I think they become accidental addicts in that sense. And it's really worrisome because we do have some data that shows that kids who have never smoked before but started with e-cigarettes could potentially become conventional cigarette smokers in the future. So it really worries us that the work that we've done in tobacco prevention and control all these years to reduce the smoking rate might be reversed by these products.
And these products that they can take with them so completely mobile, going into buildings, perhaps clipping it onto their shirt and being able to take an inhale when they feel like they need it. They're way more accessible than traditional cigarettes.
Totally. So especially here in Wisconsin, 8 years ago, we passed a really strong smoke-free air law. And this was way before e-cigs really became popular. So our current smoke-free air law does not include e-cigs. So in many communities around the state, you can walk into buildings, you can walk into bars and restaurants and use these devices. And there's no laws to say that you can't. Luckily, here in Madison, we did pass an e-cig municipal law that prohibits the use of these products in bars, restaurants, buildings, etc.
We're talking about the proliferation of e-cigarettes in schools, in establishments here on The Morning Show. Nina Gregerson is our guide. She is a public health specialist with Public Health Madison-Dane County. Getting your questions, your insights, your stories, 800-642-1234. How do you think e-cigarettes could affect public health? Are you taking health concerns seriously, or do you think officials are overplaying the risks of Juuling? Do you run a business? What do you think about customers who want to vape in your establishment? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update on the Ideas Network. The Juul attempts to mimic the nicotine hit of a cigarette. Juul vape pens can be customized, and one pod contains as much nicotine as an entire pack of cigarettes. And even though they're not supposed to be available to young people, schools are grappling with the widespread use of Juuling. In Menominee Falls, this is a for instance, Juuling is considered a major violation of the athletic code of conduct and treated the same as smoking a cigarette, marijuana, or drinking alcohol. We're talking about the rise of vaping on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nina Gregerson is with us. She is a public health specialist with Public Health Madison-Dane County. Getting your insights, your questions, 800-642-1234. When do you see students using e-cigarettes? How do you handle it? Are you a teenager or a young adult? Does your school have a policy that includes consequences? And if you're an e-cigarette user, would you feel comfortable with family members vaping? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Nina, let's look at what schools are doing around Wisconsin. If students aren't relegated to Juuling in the bathrooms, how are schools expected to keep e-cigarettes out of the classroom and off school grounds?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kate. What we're seeing, we're taking kind of a look at our school policies around the state right now, and to many of our surprise is that a lot of schools around the state haven't updated their tobacco policies in many, many years. So they don't reflect necessarily these electronic devices. So what we're doing as a statewide initiative is working with our local school districts and really encouraging them to update their tobacco policies to include these products. And DPI does have model language available for school districts around the state to use that will be pretty comprehensive and will include future products that I'm sure will be on the market soon.
When we were prepping for this hour, we've learned that kids, teenagers are customizing with nail polish or even working it into a fidget spinner. What do today's e-cigarettes look like?
Yeah, so there's a wide range of devices available for folks out there. You know, we have our traditional e-cigs or cig-alikes that look like a traditional cigarette. We have e-hookahs, vape pens, vapes that kind of look like pens but might be like rainbow or pink or purple. And then we have tank systems and mods that kind of are bigger and look more techie. And then we have our Juul that kind of looks like a USB flash drive.
Let's go to Jack now, joining us from Madison. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
So I kind of had two things to mention. From my own personal experience, I started smoking when I was in high school, and I was 16 or 17 and was a pack-a-day smoker while I was in high school. Was able to quit around 19 or 20. Now I'm 26, and something I still struggle with is having to stay away from tobacco. And I do feel like, you know, I do have an addictive personality probably, and I attribute that to being addicted to nicotine at such a young age and developing around that. My concern still is I have a lot of friends that grew up smoking cigarettes as well who have switched to these e-cigarette products or Juuls, and it has helped them quit smoking cigarettes, which is great. But now the problem is I feel like, you know, they can sit there on the couch and they treat it more like a candy where they're just constantly taking hits from these things, you know, for, you know, they're watching a movie, they could be hitting it every few minutes. So I imagine the actual nicotine consumption has to be far greater than when they were smoking cigarettes. You know, however, at least they're not smoking cigarettes. So that's kind of where I'm concerned of. There really hasn't been much health testing. We don't really know if these are bad for us or not. And I see people, they treat it like a candy or more like a toy versus something to actually not be smoking cigarettes.
Jack, thanks for the insights. Nina, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jack, for sharing that. And I think you have a great point. Like we've mentioned in the past or earlier in the show, is that people are using these products where they're not typically smoking. So in their homes or at a bar, at a restaurant. So what we are seeing is people are consuming a lot more nicotine than what they typically would if they were just smoking cigarettes. I think you also hit on a point that there might be less chemicals in an e-cigarette, but they are still consuming those chemicals and the nicotine. So it is definitely a concern of ours in the tobacco prevention world, is that people are consuming more nicotine.
And what you said, that you can't adjust the amount of nicotine you're getting on a Juul, but some other e-cigarettes you can.
Correct. So with the Juul or some of the other disposable devices, you can't really monitor or change the amount of nicotine you put in. With the vape pens and some of the other disposable devices, you can pick the level of nicotine that you would like, and then you just stay at that level until you throw it away. With the mods or the tank systems, you're able to buy the e-juice, so the liquid nicotine, at the levels that you'd prefer. And hopefully with those then products, you would taper down the nicotine content as you wean yourself off of the nicotine.
Well, it seems just like a whole new world on the notion of what chain smoking is. I mean, it just turns it on its head.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, chain vaping, right?
So. And the FDA is actively monitoring e-cigarettes. The Food and Drug Administration is also paying for ads to discourage using e-cigarettes. And this one aims to help young people understand the real cost.
Vaping can deliver nicotine to your brain, reprogramming you to crave more and more. Don't get hacked.
So very techie, and obviously it's aimed at a younger crowd. Do public service campaigns like that, do they make an impact? Do they matter to kids?
Yeah, I definitely think they do. If you think of the Truth Campaign back in the 90s and early 2000s, we attribute their mass media campaign around telling the truth and not being manipulated by the tobacco industry to that played a huge part in reducing high school cigarette rates. So I think there's definitely a benefit of having these mass media campaigns, especially when you can share them on social media and Twitter. So that's where our young people are spending a lot of their time. So you'll definitely see those campaigns on social media.
But it gets tricky when kids see their friends, they've got the peer pressure, but they also see friends who were using traditional cigarettes and now are off the traditional cigarettes using e-cigarettes. And they're thinking, well, hey, you know, that was a really great transition there. That was a smart transition. They've quote unquote kick the traditional, cigarette habit, so they have a different perception, maybe.
Totally, and that's definitely the struggle with these products, is there is a perception that they are safer, but we also know that safer doesn't necessarily mean safe, and we really need to like relay that message to our young people so they don't become a new generation of nicotine addicts.
What do you think needs to happen to convince fewer middle school, fewer high school students to take up Juuling, for instance?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we could do from a policy standpoint. Like we've seen with conventional cigarettes, the policies such as tax policies, minimum price laws, retail licensure, minimum age laws, as well as restricting marketing and flavoring, those things really helped reduce the traditional smoking rate among young people. And those policies could definitely be attributed to lowering the e-cig rate among our young people as well.
And what is the cost of e-cigarettes? How does it compare to traditional cigarettes?
So there's definitely more of like an upfront cost when purchasing these products, but in the long run, they're much cheaper. So we've been talking about the Juul, a starter kit with the device and four of the pods. So again, one pod is equivalent to the same amount of nicotine as a pack of cigarettes, costs about $50. However, refills, so pod refills, you can get like a five pack for about $15 to $16. So there's going to be an upfront cost, but in the long term, it's going to cost much less than traditional cigarettes.
Let's go to Patrick now in Madison. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. I was lucky enough to quit smoking about 6 years ago, and I'm very grateful that I was able to get off the nicotine. But could you explain to the audience nicotine's effect on the brain? Because it's not just the addictive properties of nicotine. It also changes the dopamine receptors in your brain, doesn't it?
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. For sure, especially in our young people, so the nicotine can definitely disrupt the growth of brain circuits that control attention, learning, susceptibility to addiction. So we also see that the nicotine can definitely lower impulse control and might cause mood disorders. So nicotine definitely has a negative effect on our young people's brains.
Patrick, thanks for the call. And as we start to wrap up here, Nina, what amount of effort are you putting in from a public health standpoint of your work is now focused on e-cigarettes?
I think the work definitely has shifted in the last few years, for sure. We are focusing a lot on these flavored tobacco products and e-cigs, just because we are seeing an increase among our young people. So really getting the word out there, educating adults who work with young people, so teachers, coaches, mentors, as well as teaching parents what these products look like, because I would assume if your kid had a Juul that you probably wouldn't know what that looked like and just assumed that it was a flash drive. So really getting the word out there to our adult population what these products are and the harm that it could potentially have on our young folks.
Well, Nina, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nina Gregerson is a public health specialist with Public Health Madison Dane County. She focuses on tobacco and nicotine control policies that impact youth, and she performs education and outreach with the Tobacco-Free Columbia Dane County Coalition. This hour of The Morning Show was produced by Keely Baltina and Colleen Leahy. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation on e-cigarettes, you found it on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening.